So now we're getting to the point, I believe, that we've got a good understanding of the end time for the church, right? It finishes with the rapture. That I believe that we can take it a step further and talk about the differences between the rapture of the church and the second coming of the Lord. And, you know, I used to think they're all just one event. I did not know there were different events. I thought the coming of the Lord, I didn't know how, of course, but in my mind, the way that it sounded, you know, when Jesus comes back, it's all over, right? It's all over. I did not know that the second coming of the Lord was a separate and a different event from the rapture of the church. And so I don't take it for granted that everybody knows. As a matter of fact, I've talked to some people, and it was news to them as well, that they are two separate events. And once you see the differences, again, it becomes more clear that the rapture of the church is specifically the end time for the church, whereas the second coming of the Lord has to do with the end time for the nation of Israel. So we're going to talk about 10 differences between the rapture of the church and the second coming of the Lord. The rapture of the church is a revelation that was given by Jesus to the Apostle Paul, and he gave it to the church. Remember, we read that yesterday. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So that's a specific message that Jesus gave him that's got to do with the end times. The second coming is a part of Jesus' message to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. It's got to do, once again, with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right.
So there's a huge difference, a dividing line, between the rapture of the church and the second coming of the Lord. Difference number one, let's start out here. With the rapture signals the close of the church age, and I've written the scriptures down, but we're going to read them as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. The second coming is the end of the tribulation period. Matthew chapter 24:29-30. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. The church age begins on the day of Pentecost and closes with the rapture. The tribulation period begins with the signing of a covenant and finishes with the second coming. So the rapture does not start the tribulation period. The rapture is just, you know, the finish of this, of the closing of the church age.
Yeah.
I believe that's very important for us to know as well. It's not like, you know, the church is gone and now the tribulation period starts. It could, but it's got more to do with the signing, with the confirmation, the strengthening, actually, literally, of a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll read that in just a moment.
All right.
1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture.
Hallelujah.
Very clear. Revelation 4:1, we've talked it many times now. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. So this indicates that the church has moved to heaven. They've heard a voice, the door is open, come up here. And we're going to be shown the things which must take place hereafter. And from that moment on, you'll see different things. We're in heaven, right? And you'll see the 24 elders. And you'll see how a strong angel is asking the question, who is worthy to take the book out of the hand of him who sits on the throne? And there was no man to be found worthy. But then out of the midst of them, out of the midst of the church, one stood as a lamb. And he came up and he took the book out of the one from the one who was sitting upon the throne. And, you know, the angels began to sing, the 24 elders began to make statements, and now he opens up the seals, right? So the seals are not open at this moment, right? They're going to be open at some point in time. I'm saying that because I'm always reading stuff, and some people say, well, you know, we're now at this, at seal number two or seal number three. Well, no. I mean, it can only happen after the church is gone.
Right.
It's not happening at this moment whatsoever. So all the things that Revelation talks about after chapter 4 and verse 1 is all going to be future. When the devil, he falls down, you know, there's a war in heaven between Michael and his angels and Satan, and there was no place found in heaven, so the devil came down at that moment. That is still going to happen, right? It has not happened at this moment. There's a time coming that it is going to happen. And then the devil, no, it's a marker. Because it's at that moment that he knows he's only got a little bit of time left. So he's going to do his utmost to stop the plan of God. He's always tried to do that. But he either can't read or he doesn't believe it. Not sure what his problem is. But this, Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 30. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So that's not the rapture. That's not a rapture scripture. That's the second coming of the Lord. Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm. The word confirm means strengthened. So it's not necessarily that he's going to sign a brand new covenant or a new contract. It could be a contract that's in place. And that's just going to be strengthened. Like, you know, Israel's got a few contracts in place, like the Oslo Accords. So it could be something like that that's just going to be strengthened. We don't know. But this is what's going to start the tribulation period. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or for a period of 7 years. That's the tribulation period. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. A little bit difficult to understand. I appreciate that. But the bottom line is, this is not the rapture. This has got to do with the tribulation period and what God is going to do during that time frame. Difference number two, at the rapture, only those who look for him will see him. Only those who look for him will see him. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What salvation are we talking about? It's the salvation of our bodies, right? We're already saved from sin. We're already in the process of being saved, which has to do with the renewing of the mind, with the transformation of our soul. And there's another salvation coming, which has to do with the salvation of our body. That's going to happen when he appears. Mm-hmm. Amen. When he appears, you're going to see him. And when you see him, you're going to be changed into his very image. You're going to be exactly like him. Now, we're already like him at this moment. Don't get me wrong, nature-wise. But we're going to get the same body as Jesus. Right. And we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail tonight, because I believe that's very important. Right? Because it's the change, it's the translation that not only qualifies you for the rapture, but it qualifies you to become glorified.
Right.
Right? It qualifies you to become glorified. This body cannot be glorified. It doesn't have the capabilities of it, but a glorified body does. And that's what you want, right? If every human being would know what it is like to have a glorified body like Jesus does, you know, they'd be running to the church to get born again. Because it's what every person wants. It's not just that you become an immortal being, but it's got to do, you know, you got a quality about you that's really amazing, right? You look good now, but just wait till you get glorified. Everything is going to show up in your physical body. That's exciting. Now, at the second coming, it's a different ballgame. Every eye will see him. At the rapture, only those who look for him will see him. But at the second coming, every eye will see him. Revelation 1, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So every eye is going to see him at the second coming. So you could say it this way, that the rapture is the greatest revelation from heaven, and the second coming is the greatest sign from heaven. Praise the Lord. Difference number three. At the rapture of the church, believers are removed from the earth while unbelievers remain on the earth. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You believe that, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the rapture of the church, believers are removed from the earth while the unbelievers remain on the earth. At the second coming of the Lord, then it's the opposite. The believers will remain on the earth while the unbelievers will be removed from the earth.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 through 41. Again, we already read it a few times, but you know we don't have to do it again. But let me get you to Matthew. Well, no, that's not right. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to be removed. We're going to be gathered and removed from the earth to meet the Lord in the air. Yep. So shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yep.
Here's a different story. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mall. At the mill. The one shall be taken and the other one left. Now this is in context of Noah's flood, where the unbelievers were taken.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they were taken. So Noah stayed, he remained on the earth because of the ark. But the unbelievers, they were removed from the earth. It literally says they were taken from the earth. This is the same thing. The one shall be taken, meaning there is going to be removed from the earth. But the other one is going to be left, meaning the way you get saved during the tribulation period is you're going to have to make it to the end. Right? He who shall endure unto the end shall be saved. See, that's not a rapture scripture. That's not even a New Testament scripture. Right? You don't get saved by enduring to the end. We get saved by our faith in the blood of Jesus, by confessing him as Lord and Savior. That's how we get saved. But the way you get saved in the tribulation period is you're going to have to stay away from the Antichrist and his deception. And by doing so, you're going to make it to the end. When you make it to the end, you're going to go right over into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a different story. You're not born again either. It's only the church who's going to be born again. You know, the tribulation saints and the great tribulation saints, they're going to be saved, but they are a different group of people. They're not born again like you and I. I remember Billy Brent prophesying one time, there's going to be people during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ with flesh and blood and bone bodies, and they will point at the church and they will say, oh, that we were like them. Oh, that we were like the glorified ones. That's exciting, isn't it? Amen. So they're definitely saved, right? Because one of the elders in, I believe it's Revelation chapter 7, asked John, you know, who's standing there. This elder asked John. He said, who are these? Because he saw an innumerable company of people whose robes were made white in the precious blood of Jesus. He asked John, who are they? John said, beats me. You tell me. I have no idea what these people are. So obviously they're not the church, because John would have recognized them. They're a different group of people. They're not the church. So the elder explained, these are they which have come out of great tribulation. Amen. So they are a different group of people. Shouldn't that make you excited right? That you are the elite,
right?
Yeah.
Right? You're born again because of the blood of Jesus. You have received Jesus as your Lord, and now you qualify to go into the rapture and be a part of the great company of believers whose hearts have been made perfect because of the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And it gives you a very specific and special standing.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Two women shall be grinding at the mill again. The one shall be taken, meaning be removed from the earth, and the other one left. Can you see there's a huge difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus? Yeah. Difference number four. The rapture requires a translation, which I call the change. There's a big change coming. It's a translation. The second coming of Jesus does not require a translation. But at the second coming, it will trigger a resurrection of Old Testament saints. And I'll just read it to you. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, that's right, that's what we got on now, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So here is talking about two groups, two identifiable groups. The one who's got flesh and blood, like, you know, those we which are alive and remain, we have flesh and blood. So we cannot just get over into the kingdom, right? Something needs to happen. And those who have died in Christ during the church age, they can't just go out into the kingdom either, obviously. They can be in heaven, but not the kingdom. Isn't that interesting? Unless something happens. You know, corruption needs to inherit incorruption. Behold, he says, I'm going to show you a mystery. Well, the minute he says mystery, that means our eyes or our ears, you know, eyes too, but our ears specifically, need to perk up and say, okay, he's going to tell us something that is strictly for the church. The nation of Israel won't get this. The nations won't get it either. When they hear this, they think you're nuts. Right? But this is specifically for us. We shall not all sleep, meaning we're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed. So every person in Christ will be changed, though not everybody will have to go through death. That's kind of exciting.
Hallelujah. Yep.
Because, you know, there's people that talk about there's nothing as certain as death and taxes. Well, I don't know about taxes. I think that's pretty certain. But death is getting pretty iffy in our days.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we shall not all sleep, meaning we're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed. So the dead in Christ, they're going to change from corruption to incorruption. We which are alive and remain, we're going to change from mortality to immortality. The same thing. But you remember who's going to go first? It's the dead in Christ. We're going to experience that first, and we're going to see them. We're going to see that they have been translated. So that's pretty exciting. In a moment, so this is where the moment in the twinkling of an eye comes in. That change is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed at the last trumpet. So that means that's the last trumpet at the church age, right? So there's more than one trumpet. Amen. There's more than one last trumpet.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this is the last trumpet at the end of the church age. The trumpet is going to sound. The dead are going to be raised incorruptible. Then afterwards we shall be changed as well. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And we're going to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be us.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to whip death. Jesus already did it for us. We've already beaten spiritual death via the new birth.
Right.
But we're going to be involved in overcoming natural death.
Wow.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Difference Number five. Let me back up a moment. Just, you know, I have something here that I wanted to share as well. Where was it? I show you, Mr. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. No, I don't see it anymore. Anyway, at the rapture of the church, or at the rapture, then the Lord is coming for his saints. At the second coming, the Lord is coming with his saints.
Right.
Right? There's a difference.
Yeah.
He's coming at the rapture, he's coming for us, for his saints. At the second coming, he's coming with his saints for a different purpose. And the purpose is to set up the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to help him establish the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And we get to participate in it now already, right? Because Jesus already promised, like, he who overcomes, right? He had seven letters to different churches. And he said, you know, I've got, this is what you're doing right. This is what you're doing wrong, you know. And he who overcomes, meaning, you know, if you follow the word, and he who overcomes, I will make him to sit with me. And there's a whole lot of different promises that you don't have to wait until the second coming. You can get involved with kingdom living right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but that's what I want.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. Mm-hmm. Right? In the context, it's got to do with clothing and housing and food, shelter, all the things that you need just to exist. I would assume you can include transportation, because it's something we need, especially in our country. But rather than you running after those things, they're going to come and find you.
Yeah.
Amen. They're going to come and find us when we seek the kingdom of God first. Mm. That's a pretty decent promise.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Rather than me trying to find my car, trying to find my house, trying to find all these things, it's going to find me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're just magnets.
And magnets, right? Amen.
When the Lord shields us with favor, right? He puts a shield around us like favor. I believe it's like a magnet, right? It will push things away, but it also brings things to us.
Yep.
So it's prophesied. Enoch already prophesied this many, many centuries ago. Right? That's quite something. It's kind of, I don't know where the book of Enoch fits, you know, like they have, that it used to be a part of the scriptures, you know, it's part of the Jewish Bible. Right now, it's even part of the Ethiopian Bible. They have it still in there, but they have left the book of Enoch out. You know, it's got historical value, but I find it amazing because, you know, Jude quoted from the book of Enoch, Jesus quoted from the book of Enoch, Paul quoted from the book of Enoch. So certain statements. But here he says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Ooh, that's us.
Hallelujah.
We have 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their heart speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, do you ever feel a little bit of vengeance coming up in you during the days we're in now? You got to wait until then.
Hallelujah.
We're still living in the days of grace, so we got to pass that up until the time comes. Timing is very important, once again. Amen. Difference number six. At the rapture, the Lord is coming as a bridegroom for his bride. John 14 verses 1 through 3. At the second coming, the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. The church is the bride of Christ and should not be compared, not even to the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. You remember, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, right? The 10 virgins, how that it's often explain that you got the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And they're all part of the bridal party, of course. But the five foolish ones didn't have enough oil. And, you know, because they didn't have enough oil, they asked the ones who had enough, can we buy some of you, or can we borrow some of you? They said, no, you're going to have to go back to town and get your own. By the time that they picked up their own oil and came back to the bridal party. The door was shut and they couldn't get in. Well, that's not the church. Oh, I could have laughed. That's not the church. We're the bride of Christ.
Right.
Amen. I mean, if you're on the outside and you got to bang on the door trying to get in, your marriage is in serious problems already. Amen. We're the bride of Christ. It would really be helpful for us to identify ourselves with the right people, with the right group. Amen. John the Baptist did. You know, they asked him, who are you? Are you one of the prophets? They asked him, are you the Christ? He said, I'm not. Man, well, who are you? He said, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. So he was able to accurately identify himself. We are the bride of Christ. So we're not on the outside trying to get in. God, I mean, if you're the bride of Christ, you shouldn't have to get your own oil. It should have already been provided for you. You're inside already. Amen. You're not on the outside trying to get in. You're inside already. So it's talking about the nation of Israel. You know, so we have to keep all those things in mind. A thief in the night is always, always, always in connection with the second coming, never with the rapture. Because at the rapture, he's coming for us as a bridegroom comes for his bride. Let me ask you this question. You know, when you got married, did you know the date? Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be kind of silly for the bridegroom to tell his future wife, you know, I'm going to marry you, but it's going to be a surprise. You know, I'm not going to tell you when, but when I'm at the altar, you know, you're going to have to figure out where it's going to be, and you're going to have to figure out when. But when it's going to happen, I'm going to be there. I know what the date is. But I'm not telling you, you're going to have to figure that one out for yourself. And if you're not there, you're in trouble. That marriage does not have a good start.
Right.
We're not talking about that at all. Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, if you do a little bit of study, you'll find out this is what every future bridegroom would tell his bride. Him and his dad would find a wife for them. For him, they would go to the family, they would talk about the arrangement, they would pay the down payment, and then when they would go back, you know, he would put a ring on her finger, even an engagement ring for betrothal, so to speak, and he would tell his wife, his future wife, he said, I'm going to go back with my dad, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to pick you up so that you may be where I am. That's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Romantic.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That's the second coming. That's the second coming. Praise the Lord. Difference number 7. Man, I wish we had time to go and read all those scriptures in context, because you'd be able to see the differences so clearly. Once you got established that there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming, you'd be able to really see the differences. At the rapture, then the Lord will meet his bride between heaven and earth and transport her to where he is. Right, we just read that actually.
In the air.
At the second coming, the Lord will literally set foot upon the face of the earth, and he will be where the people are, according to Zechariah 14, verse 4. Again, we read this many, many times, but it holds a lot of truth and information.
Yeah.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be removed from heaven and be with the Lord. Amen. Zechariah 14, verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day, the second coming of the Lord, upon the mountain of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the mountain of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved towards the north, and half of it towards the south. That's not the rapture.
No, right.
That's the second coming, when Jesus is literally going to put his feet upon the earth.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's going to be an earth-shaking event.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Difference number 9, at the rapture, believers gather themselves. At the second coming, angels are involved. They got to gather the elect. Does that make sense? Like, we are gathering our own self. We don't need angels. You know, I mean, they may help you get there, but it is motivated and initiated by our own selves. We on purpose gather ourselves to the Lord. During the church age, it's the believers who are to preach the gospel and bring in the harvest. During the tribulation period, it changes. The gospel is preached by both believers and angels as well. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So that's not true for our age. For the church age, our job is to preach the gospel. It's done by men.
Right.
Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. See, it's us who are gathering ourselves. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly. I mean, if angels were involved, no, nobody would be forsaking the assembly, because they would bring you here. They would bring you to church. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's not a rapture scripture. That's the second coming of the Lord. Difference number 9, the rapture is imminent and has no attached conditions, and it can occur at any time. Well, the difference is the second coming has conditions attached. Number 1, Israel must recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Number 2, Israel must confess her national sin of rejecting the Messiah. Number 3, Israel must embrace Jesus as their Messiah. So he can't come back for the nation of Israel at this moment. You remember in Matthew chapter 23, you know, he left the nation of Israel, or he said goodbye to the city of Jerusalem, and he said, you know, he said, I would have liked to gather you just like a hen gathers her chickens, but you didn't want to. So I'm not going to come back to you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I'm not going to come back to you, O nation of Israel, unless and until you say to me, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So until then, you know, until this happens, he cannot come back for the nation of Israel. But for the church, he can come back at any time.
Hallelujah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. Matthew chapter 23, that's for the nation of Israel. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, you stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth or from now on, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Is Israel saying that right now?
Mm.
No. Right now, Israel is a very secular nation. So obviously something has to happen before this can happen.
Right.
Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Zechariah 12, verse 10, it tells us exactly what's going to happen. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Wow. Man, to me, that scripture always grabs me, right? Because they finally will realize it's him after all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they've told us about him. We just didn't believe it. And it is him after all. Amen.
Right.
I just heard a quick little testimony. I just heard a little story about a little Jewish boy who was on the operating table. He died on the operating table. He was 15 years of age. And he didn't know where he went. Like, he didn't say he went to heaven. But he went to a place where there were many, many people. And he could tell one of them. And there was a veil, he said. So he couldn't really see who they were. But he could tell one of them is their Messiah. He could tell. And he's standing behind the veil. And he didn't know who he was. And they asked him, you know, this is on video. They asked him, some of the, whoever these people are, some of the leaders of the nation of Israel, spiritual leaders, they asked him, well, who do you think it is? He said, I don't know. I couldn't tell. But I do know this. He's very famous. That's what he said. I can tell you this. He is very famous. So I thought it was really cool when he said that. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, talking about the Lord as well. I will go and return to my place. That's what he did, didn't he? I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early or earnestly. Amen. So that's exactly what's going to happen. Last but not least, difference number 10, the hour of the rapture can be known. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. The day, the hour of the second coming cannot be known. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Revelation 3:3. Again, I talked to you that in the previous hour. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief. See, that's a reference to his second coming. And you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. But that's the warning, right? Would you agree that if they do what Jesus told them to do, if they do hold fast and repent of what they were doing, that the opposite would happen, that Jesus would not come upon them as a thief, and they would know what hour he's coming upon them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. To me, it makes sense. So I want to be in the category that I know.
Amen.
Right? I don't want to be caught off guard. Yeah, we just read that now. And Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Again, that's not a rapture scripture. That's the second coming of Jesus scripture. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise
right.
The Lord. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I think it becomes clearer and clearer that way. So, amen. All right, that's it.
Amen.
We're going to have a good afternoon. And come back tonight at 7?
7.
At 7 o'clock, where we want to talk about what our next one is. Our blessed hope, which got to do with the change or a translation. I believe that's, you know, an exciting topic to be talking about. So have a good afternoon. Well, you're having lunch here.
We're going to have some lunch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're not done yet. We're having lunch. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.